Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime. We had the federal budget that came down, and it was supposed to pump up the tires of the Liberal Party. Those tires have been extremely flat. In fact, they were so flat you didn't think any more air could go out of them, but it did. And they're so far behind the leading Conservative Party of Canada that our next guest, good friend of this program, Darryl Bricker, the CEO of Ipsos Public Affairs, and Ipsos did a tremendous poll, exclusive poll for Global News, as they often do at Ipsos. Darryl's told us in the past that the route back, if there is a route back for Mr. Trudeau and the Liberals, it's hard to define because they're so far back now. But it's almost impossible to return. And what I found interesting is that after that budget came out, and after the negative reaction to the budget was heard, and we'll hear from the Canadian Medical Association president-elect about that in a bit this hour, after that happened, guess who really appeared on the national scene again? Was speaking out publicly. One Mark Carney. I hadn't heard much from Mr. Carney for a while. The former governor of the Bank of Canada, the former governor of the Bank of England, member of the Liberal Party, and touted by many as the replacement for Mr. Trudeau to lead the party at some point. Well, it was very interesting that Mr. Carney is suddenly heard from a couple of days after the budget is released, and it's going nowhere. Darryl Bricker joins us. CEO of Ipsos Public Affairs and author of the tremendous book. I tell you about it all the time. You must read it. It's called Next. There's another great book that Darryl co-wrote called titled Empty Planet. I just found that interesting, Darryl, that shortly after, like in 48 hours or so, after the budget is released and it's going nowhere, here comes Mark Carney.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, they can read polls. Right. I know people are a lot of people aren't big fans of pollsters and they're not big fans of polls. But just like a stock price is for a company in the marketplace, you get a sense of the market, what the market feels. In this instance, the political market feels about certain options. And the polls are a pretty good way of seeing what's going on. And, you know, there's been, I think, four or five polls out since the budget came out. All of them, with the exception of one, showing the Liberal Party trailing the Conservatives by 19 or 20 points. So if you're an aspirational individual who sees that maybe at some point you want to become Prime Minister of Canada under the Liberal banner, probably a good time for you to come out.
Yeah, to be heard and seen. And as soon as I saw Mark Carney, as soon as I heard him, I thought, okay, this isn't just by accident. This is by design. And he wouldn't want any other job than to lead the party. He's not interested. That's why he didn't run last time. He's not interested in being a sidekick because that's a death wish politically in this country at this time. Is this as bad? And we've touched on this, but after the budget and the polling that you've done, is this as bad as you've seen it for an incumbent government closing in on an election deadline?
Well, you know, Kathleen Wynne was in similar territory. Brian Mulroney back in 1991-92 was in similar territory, where it's just, you know, the public's, they basically said, okay, we've kind of made up our minds, and we're just, you know, crossing our arms, we're watching this play out, and the only thing that's really moving is the sand in the sand dial as time slips away. And, I mean, the government will, you know, they tried, well, obviously, with the budget to try and reboot things. There'll probably be a couple of more things where they try to reboot things. But at this point, nothing seems to be moving.
Yeah. If it's as bad as it was for Kathleen Wynne, and if it's as bad as it was for Brian Mulroney, it's a disaster because Kathleen Wynne's government just disappeared off the map. They still don't have enough MPPs to receive official party designation in the province of Ontario, and Mr. Mulroney's leadership of the Progressive Conservative Party, even after he turned it over to Kim Campbell, who, well, she finished the job, And after that election, I can't even imagine a party. I think they had 186 members sitting in the federal parliament. There were a majority government, and after the election, there were two. There was Jean Charest, and there was Elsie Wayne, the former mayor of St. John, New Brunswick, who's a wonderful lady and one based on her personality. That's a decimation. And if that's the same sort of feeling that you're getting, then the Liberal Party may find themselves in, I don't know if I'm doing this properly, interpreting properly, but I'm thinking they could find themselves in more difficulty than they did in 2011, when they were down to, what, 33 or 34 members.
Yeah, they're not quite down that far yet, but they're not far off. The big problem they've got is not so much where they are in terms of voter support, it's everything else. So 75% of Canadians say it's time for a change. Mm-hmm. And that's as high as I've seen it in a very long time. We asked who would make the best prime minister. And usually the incumbent prime minister has the advantage on that because they're in the job and people can see them as that. Well, Justin Trudeau had 23 on that question. Jagmeet Singh had 22. And Pierre Poilievre had 48. He's even ahead of his party right now. And my analysis of what was going on was that people were just basically looking at the Conservatives as change, and they didn't really think very much of Poilievre. But even his numbers are starting to improve now, even more than the parties. So you sit back and you just take a look at this, if they were asking me what to do, I don't know what I would do. I mean, it's a very difficult set of circumstances. They've obviously come up with what their strategy is, but they rolled the dice on the budget, and it just came up snake eyes.
Yeah, it's pretty. It must be so discouraging for them. And Mr. Singh doesn't know what he wants to do. He supports Trudeau, and the next day he's on his case.
Well, the most interesting person in this whole scenario right now is Jagmeet Singh, because he's either going to be the political leader of his party or he's going to go into oblivion. Because right now, he has two choices. He can let the Liberals continue on with this budget, with the situation as it's been. And by the way, they're looking right now like they're the caboose on the Liberal train. I mean, they're not going anywhere either. So Mr. Singh's in a position that if he really wants to create something, some momentum in terms of the political situation for the NDP, he should either be forcing an election or he should be demanding a much better deal for the NDP than just, the current deal they have, maybe even demanding some cabinet seats or something to at least take some responsibility for what might go well over the next while. Because if this continues on in the same direction till October 2025 and we have another election, the risk for the NDP is they're going to end up in fourth, because that's the way it looks right now.
I've always said that if people are angry at you, that's one thing. You can usually manage that. But if people are laughing at you, you've lost. It's true, though, isn't it, Darrell? If people are at the stage where they don't hear you anymore, they've shut you out of their lives. They just want you gone. There's no recovery from that. You can't do anything. Or is there? I should not be making a statement. I should be asking a question.
Well, I've really never seen it happen. There could be an external event that causes a bit of a rally to the flag, but I don't know what that external event would be. It's not obvious. So, I mean, they're essentially in a situation where everything that's going to happen in the political process is something that's going to happen to them, rather than something that they're going to cause to happen. And that's why the budget was so important. I mean, these are the kinds of things where you can really ramp up and maybe get the public's attention and maybe change the channel and start going in a different direction. But all the polling evidence since the budget came out shows that people didn't like the budget, and it didn't reverse the situation for the party. So what have they got left? I mean, maybe he prorogues the House and they have a speech from the throne, but if he does that, he risks having a non-confidence vote. And the government could fall. Okay, so he continues to govern into October in hopes that the Conservatives make enough errors that people will start turning on them. But at this stage of the game, I mean, that doesn't seem to be happening. So everything is in the hands of everybody else. So, they've made a lot of promises. You were going through the ones that they made on house buying or house building. What are they going to do? Are they going to double that? I mean, how much more credibility would that have? I mean, it's so you're sort of are where you are.
Yeah. And that little chuckle of mine, that was spontaneous. I listened to you, but as soon as you said it, I just laughed. So we're talking about the Conservatives. They've had a history, the party has had history, in election campaigns or during election campaigns in the past, of inflicting creating self-inflicting gum shot wounds. What do the Conservatives need to do to absolutely be sure they don't do that? What's their Achilles heel as far as that's concerned? Or is there one?
Well, the last time around, I mean, there's been two campaigns since Stephen Harper. I mean, Stephen Harper was in the same place as Justin Trudeau, although Stephen Harper was more competitive than Justin Trudeau is right now. So Andrew Scheer, what happened to Andrew Scheer? Well, he was an unknown quantity. And frankly, Justin Trudeau was still pretty fresh. I mean, he was only 4 years into his mandate. So people at that stage of the game, because we've been through SNC-Lavalin and all the problems that have been around that, they were somewhat disappointed in them, but they weren't completely rejecting them, even with blackface and everything else. And then Andrew Scheer just wasn't able to convince the public that he was able to connect on the issues that they cared about the most. And then you had Aaron O'Toole, and Aaron O'Toole also came very close to beating Justin Trudeau, but at the end really couldn't convince people that he was absolutely going to be able to do that. So a lot of people didn't show up, and we saw the People's Party rise as a kind of a protest to that situation. But even in those two elections, Roy, the Liberals lost the popular vote. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like it was, big victory after big victory. There were close fought things in both of those situations. The situation they find themselves in now, in which the Conservatives have a 20-point lead. Okay, so they lose half of it. They've got a 10-point lead. They still win a majority. Yeah. I mean, it's really a difficult set of circumstances, and Trudeau hasn't faced this before. Now, absolutely, you're going to see the lights start to the investigative lights start to turn on the Conservatives. The media is going to go after them, increasingly as they start looking like they're going to be potentially our next government. Pierre Poilievre is going to be under a lot of pressure. We'll see how all of that goes through, but none of those things are in the control of the government. They're not in any response to what the government is trying to put out there to convince that they should vote for them. Yeah. So all they've got left is they hope that the other guys are going to fail.
Yeah. Well, that's no way to move forward. That's, that's being pulled over to the side of the road with your engine dead and your car and your phone is dead. And you just hope that a tow truck just happens to be driving down the road you're on. And not likely to happen. Darryl, great to talk to you. Thank you so much for the time, as always.
Always a pleasure. Thanks.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.